Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT, streaming live on the Sports Beat app. It is 5:30 on this Monday following Notre Dame's 27-13 victory over Duke. Kyle Hamilton in a walking boot due to a sprained ankle suffered on Saturday, listed as day-to-day. Ben Skowronek, Irish wide receiver, likely out this Saturday with a hamstring. Braden Lindsey dealing with a hamstring. Maybe he'll be back on the field for the Fighting Irish. Good chance he'll be 100% for practice tomorrow. That would open the door for Lindsey to get on the field for the Irish against South Florida on Saturday. Vince Tadario, Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you. We're joined by Lou Somogyi, the editor of Blue and Gold Illustrated. I think we call him the official walking Notre Dame encyclopedia. He joins us here on WSBT Radio. Lou, it's Darren. Good to catch up with you. How are you?
Very good, and I'm able to chew gum at the same time, too, while walking.
And nice. Tap your foot and tap the top of your head. Absolutely.
Every now and then.
Lou, there's always going to be a spotlight, no matter the year, on the Notre Dame quarterback position, and the Irish have a veteran quarterback back this year in Ian Book, who went 19 for 31 on Saturday with the interception, another one. There was an interception that came back due to penalty. It looked like there were a couple of missed throws, one that would have been a touchdown. I guess, how should Irish fans and maybe the media as well, in your opinion, evaluate Book week to week? What should we be looking for in order for us to have a good feel that this offense could be as good as it might be able to be if Book does these things?
Well, sort of picking up like where he did with the final drive of against Virginia Tech last year on November 2nd after the Michigan loss. At that time, there was just a lot of questions about, well, is Book going to be the future? And he was able to pick it up. I think one of the things that has to be recognized, he lost a lot of safety nets there. When you lose 2 second-round picks with Cole Kmet, Chase Claypool, and then a very reliable target like Chris Fink, you build that safety net. But now here's the second part of it. The guys who were expected to replace those three as maybe the top targets, Kevin Austin, he's out for a couple months here. Braden Lindsey, the speed factor downfield, he missed the game against Duke because of a hamstring. I don't know whether he's going to be able to go this week or not. Those hamstrings can linger for a while. Bennett Skowronek, the most veteran of all, with 110 career catches at Northwestern, coming here, and he was so much the talk of the preseason as maybe that safety valve. He's out in the first half with a hamstring as well. So now, not only do you lose that phase from last year, but then this year, the next group coming in, now there's a chemistry issue that you've got to start develop, especially because you missed all of spring. You missed several practices here in fall camp as well. So more than anything, I think it's just being able to develop some kind of chemistry and knowledge of each other in the course of these next few games before you get to the bye on October 3rd and have a chance to even hone your craft a little bit even more between them.
Lou, when you look at the entirety of the performance of the offensive line, what are your thoughts on that unit coming out of the game?
Well, anytime, this is the most veteran line in Notre Dame history. As far as career starts, you're coming back with 114 career starts. So right off the bat, the bar is going to be really, really high as far as expectations and dominance. And I think here's another area that Notre Dame's going to have to really address in the coming weeks is, like last year, given the situation at the receiver position, they're going to stack everything up front there, and they're going to say, Notre Dame, let's see what you can do with the passing game because we're not going to allow you to run much. Now, they were able to pick up 178 yards, but I think, as Vince mentioned and you, Sean, 4.2 yards per carry, that's not where they want to be. But when you are stacking lines like that, So what's your alternative? You got to beat them with the pass. You got to make some receptions that were dropped that could have gone for some huge, huge gains for Ian Book. He's got to make that simple throw there, that screen, the short throw, that 2 yard pass that turns into a 20-25 yard gain, sort of like with Jafar Armstrong on that one during Notre Dame's first touchdown drive where he took the screen 20 yards. Tyron took a screen 75 yards. So those things are maybe coming to play as a way to counter people playing so many times stacking the line in an effort to stop the run and see if Notre Dame can indeed beat them with the pass.
Lou Somogyi from Blue and Gold Illustrated joining us following Notre Dame's 27-13 victory over Duke with South Florida. Straight ahead for the Fighting Irish Saturday at 2:30 here on WSBT Radio. South Florida's a little different game. You expect to be able to control the game and hopefully pull away and win. But other ACC games I'm more concerned about, or the better opponents, Lou, how deep do you go with your running back depth chart with the game on the line, or I shouldn't say it that way, in a big, big game where in 60 minutes you're going to need to run the football effectively, how deep do you go down the line? You've got seven guys you can probably feel comfortable giving the football to, but what Kyron showed us on Saturday, it's hard to take the football out of his hand. I know today's football is a whole lot different with 2-3 running backs being used per game, but how far do you go down that line, in your opinion?
As far as you need. Now, usually you're not going to go more than three backs in a game. But here, one of the biggest things that surprised me in the game, how many times did we hear, either before the spring or in the preseason, this is going to be a running back by committee, a running back by committee? Kyron Williams, according to Pro Football Focus, was in 52 snaps. The next most among the running backs was Chris Tyree with 13. So four times fewer. And then Jafar Armstrong, the veteran, only 8 snaps. So, you know, I wouldn't quite call that a committee. That seems like a monopoly there, more so. So that'll be interesting to see how, as the season progresses, as durability, fatigue start to take place. So look, Williams had the hand on. They were confident in him, and he produced. He came through big time with so many things. And I anticipate as the season progresses, Chris Tyree will be integrated into the lineup more. I think there's certainly a niche there as well for Jafar Armstrong. And, you know, who knows, with Sebo Flemister and Jameer Smith, they could be factors as well. But I was looking at maybe 9 carries and a couple of catches for Williams in that opener, but 52 snaps and 19 carries, a couple of receptions, and a couple of other targets. I think they're going to ride him right now.
Lou, I wanted to ask you about one of your favorite guys who plays on defense. You know, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah had a great game, and I think we all had high expectations for him. I want to see if he met your expectations in game one.
Oh, he's. So many times you create these expectations, and one of the predictions I had this year is there have been only 2 Notre Dame defenders ever to record more than 20 tackles for loss in the season. One of them was way back in 76 with Ross Bronner, who won the Outland, and Anthony Weaver in the Bob Davie era. I think Owusu is one of those guys, just such a playmaker. He is everywhere on the field. I'm not going to compare him to Isaiah Simmons at Clemson last year, but he's one of those guys. He can line up deep. He can line up in the box. He can line up on the edge. And it's not like defenses can really avoid him because he can go so many places wherever he wants. Not freelance necessarily, but he can be used in so many different capacities. And his closing speed is as good as you will find. So he had a couple of tackles here. I'm looking at if he makes 2 tackles for a loss game, that's 22 just during the regular season, not including, you know, hopefully a conference title game and beyond that. But with good health, he's just a playmaker supreme. Those are the two guys, Owusu-Koromo and Hamilton, where you look at these could be future first-round picks here. And they showed it. Before Hamilton was injured, my gosh, he had seven tackles just basically playing a half there and was in coverage, came on a blitz. Those two on the field, when they're there, they can wreak a lot of havoc and create so many opportunities for the defense.
You know, if the wide receivers are the biggest question on the, or one of the bigger questions anyway on the offensive side of the ball, the Buck linebacker, not that it's huge, I think, but did you see enough to feel confident that this will, you know, maybe kind of take care of itself in a fairly short amount of time, similar to last year?
In Clark Lee, we trust.
Exactly.
He's just got such a good track record with this. You know, last year at this time, after the first two games against Louisville and New Mexico, my gosh, I think New Mexico ran for over 200 yards against Notre Dame, and it's like, boy, this defense they're in trouble. You know, Asmar Bilal was taking a lot of criticism because he had made the transition from Rover to Buck, but the third game against Georgia, they found a rhythm, and they really started continuing to improve as the season progressed, and they became very effective down there. Two new guys with Drew White and Asmar in the middle, and then Jeremiah at the rover position. So I expect, you know, that will happen this year. There are their share of errors there at the Buck position. Now, that truly was my committee. Shane Simon took 32 snaps, and Maris Lufa took 27. So that is a co-starting role there, basically. And then you saw Jack Kaiser come in for about four snaps on third down or situations. They're almost like Jack Lehrman, some sub-packages last year. I wondered maybe, do you possibly even make Drew White move him over to the Buck, because Bo Bauer showed a lot of effectiveness too. And Brian Kelly said last week before the game that he's had as good a camp as anybody. So similar to the offensive line, you try to find a way to get all your best players on the field at the same time. You know, you basically have five former offensive tackles starting along the offensive line. It's not necessarily center, guard. These were tackles, and we find the best position for the best five. And I don't know, maybe you look at that too, but I think the preference right now is just to stay as it is and let players develop as they did last year.
Lou Somogyi, Blue and Gold Illustrated, our guest. Before Kyle Hamilton was injured, Lou, it felt like there were three or four Kyle Hamiltons on the field. They lined him up all over the place with different assignments. What did you like about the way Clark Lee used Hamilton before the injury?
Oh, that's what you do. Just like with Jeremiah, is that these guys are the floaters, and you always, when you have a great defender like that, whether it's on the edge or someplace else, sometimes the concern is, well, the other offense, they find ways to avoid him. It's tough to avoid those guys when you move them around like that, and that can give an offense a lot of headaches, just knowing all the various capacities that can be used at against them.
Lou, have you seen any of, you know, much of Charlie Weiss Jr. and that offense to maybe kind of have an idea of what we can expect to see from South Florida this Saturday?
Yeah, I have not. I have not.
Okay, we're in the same boat then.
No, but obviously, he did an outstanding job at Florida Atlantic. There, they ranked among the top 20, and he was given complete in the bowl game, carte blanche, to run the offense, even though they had lost most of their playmakers. And Lane Kiffin gave him, you know, full reins there, and they put up 52 points while losing most of the top guys there. So, you know, you do have kind of a boy wonder figure there with Charlie Jr.
Hey, Lou, tell our listeners what's happening right now at Blue and Gold Illustrated and what should they expect leading up to the South Florida game.
Well, we just did a huge feature. Andrew Mentok did an excellent feature. He went to high school with Charlie Jr. at St. Joseph's, and he was able to get in contact with him. So we have a feature up on our website right now on him, one of 8 stories so far today. And I think it will be a really, really good read for anyone who wants to go to blueandgold.com there for that story. We'll be doing game previews and a lot of other things covered from the conference here today.
Very good. Lou, good to catch up with you. Always a pleasure to talk to you, to get your thoughts on the Fighting Irish, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
I hope so. Thank you very much for having me, guys.
You bet. Lou Savoji.
See you, Lou.
See you,
Lou. The editor of Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, joining us on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.